regenerates. I'm just reminding us of a few things. 24 things that we talked about. He seals the believer. He leads the believer. He anoints the believer that we see. He guides the believer. He sanctifies the believer. He does so many. He teaches and illuminates the word of God. He intercedes on the believer's behalf. He inspires the believer. He restrains us that we will not go the wrong way. He transforms the believer into the image of Jesus Christ, and so on and so on. Many, many things. And today I want to talk about how that happens. I remember when I was saved back in June of 1975, long time ago. And I was so excited. My life changed radically, and it really did. I became a new person in Christ Jesus. Then about a month or a little bit more than a month, I went to a teaching like what we're going to have this morning. And at the end, he just gave an opportunity to receive. And he asked if anybody wanted to receive prayer and just raise your hand. And Vi and I raised our hand, and we just simply prayed at that point. And our lives were the same, are not the same from that point forward. And I don't know why, but the Lord allowed a very special experience. I remember when we were closing the service there, this was on a Saturday, a seminar, as I said, we went to. He just said to us, he said, just remember, the enemy's going to try to steal. He's going to try to, because he's a robber, he tries to steal blessings that are there. And so I didn't know a lot, so we listened to the seminar and walked out that day. And I love this story. Those that have been here have heard the story before, but it's part of my testimony in that way. So we got in our 240Z. Anybody remember 240Zs? Yeah, chocolate in color, black or brown. And it was just, I'd love to have the car back right now. I really would. But we just got in it, and we were riding. We went down through Linda Vista there and going into Mission Valley. And all of a sudden, I found myself yelling at my wife. And that is not what you're supposed to do, right? You're not supposed to do that. But I just thought, that's weird. You know, weird. We were in that situation, and I was yelling at her for no reason whatsoever. And then it dawned on me that what had happened in my life, he had said that the enemy's going to try to rob that. And I thought, wow. And just as I was doing that, we had gone through Mission Valley in San Diego, going up what's called the Texas Hill, Street Hill there. We got to the top of it, and I'm going through this, and I looked over at Vi, and I said, honey, we were baptized with the Holy Spirit today. I just know that we were. And at that moment, I look up at a truck that was up here, and the guy in the passenger side of it looked at me, and he actually literally growled at me. He did. I looked up at him, and he growled at me. And then I just look, and I go, that's strange. Obviously, that's strange. Why would somebody growl at me, of all things? And so then I just look back at him, and I think I can say this. Anyway, he yelled out, and he says, why don't you eat my shorts? And I thought, I don't like shorts. I really don't, you know, in that sense. But, you know, it was just this weird thing. Now, is that weird or what? Nothing going on. I didn't do anything. And so when he said that, I went, whoopee, and I put it in first gear and popped the clutch and took off with the 240Z. And I said, honey, we've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and, you know. And I haven't doubted since that day that God had done that. But I find that I leak. Sometimes we, you know, need to cry out again. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, be you being filled with the Holy Spirit. So today we're just going to let an opportunity. Is that okay? We're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and the simple teaching on this. I know there's different people come from different backgrounds, if I may, there was a young lady that came in a long time ago. We were over in Linda Vista, and the church was just starting. I think it was in the first year. In the first year the church was starting there, and she came in for a counseling appointment, and she was just talking about that. different things in her life, and basically what she was saying is that she needed more of God in her life. And I said, you want more of God in your life? And she said, yes. And I said, well, there's this thing called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And she kind of just reacted to it. She had grown up, and I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but she grew up in a certain denomination that didn't believe in what I'm going to teach today. And so she was ingrained inside of her that, and not to be open to that. She was warned, I don't know why. But anyway, so we just talked about it a little bit more, and she said, well, I'd like to pray. And we prayed, anointed her with oil, laid hands on her, and she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I hope she doesn't mind me telling you, that's Debbie Marshall, and radically changed her life. And she would be one that would tell you that. Debbie, are you in here? Are you backslidden? Third service, she'll be there. But anyway, Just in her life, it made a change. In my life, it made a change. Anybody else here, by show of hands, that believes in this, that it made a change in your life? Look around. All these freaks. So what I want to do is just give a little bit of teaching about it. And today you might want to be being filled. You may want to just cry out for the first time, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me. Have more of me. I just want to be surrendered to you. So in John chapter 14, if you'll join me there, please. It says in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray, Jesus is speaking, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. And notice he says that he may abide with you. How long does it say there? Forever. How long is forever? Forever. And so Jesus, of all people, he was ready now. He's closing out his time here on earth. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die on the cross. They're going to put him in the grave. He's going to rise from the dead to the living. He's going to walk on this earth, and then he's going to ascend into heaven. But he's concerned about something. Notice again, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you. The helper is obviously the Holy Spirit. And he says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. You know him. You can experience him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so real simply there, if we look at it, it's pretty simple. We look at it and Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit can be with us and we can experience him, whatever that means. And we can experience that he would come in to our lives in that way. Now go with me to Acts chapter 1, please. It's very important at times, as you know, you study Scripture, you look at the prepositions that are found in Scripture. So there we see two prepositions. The with is para, and that means that he'll come alongside. He comes alongside of us. Before we know Jesus, he comes alongside of us. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. When we receive Jesus into our life, as we spoke last week, he comes into our life. That's baptized into the Holy Spirit. And so he dwells inside of us. He tabernacles in our lives. How wonderful that is. And so we see that happening. But also we see it here. Look at verse 4 of Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, he, which is Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For truly, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, it's very important that Scripture is very specific here, but you shall be baptized. It doesn't say in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't say with the Holy, or excuse me, it says, with the Holy Spirit. So we see that the Holy Spirit is active in their lives. And he goes on in verse 6, he says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So what he's revealing to us here is there's another relationship. He can be with us. He will be in us the moment that we accept Jesus Christ. And I believe wholeheartedly that there's this relationship where the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, there's reasons that he does that. Notice in verse 8 there, it goes on and says, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And so we know that the disciples in the rest of chapter 1 went, and they went into an upper room, and they waited. They tarried for the Holy Spirit. They were commanded not to leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Now look at what happens in chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so this wonderful time where the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus had ascended into heaven. 40 days later, the day of Pentecost fully had come, and then we see the coming of the Holy Spirit giving birth to the church and to empower the church in a very, very special way. Now go with me, please, to Acts chapter 8, please. So have we seen in Scripture, and you can study this more, but you spend a lot of time in this. We only have a little bit of time this morning. But I love this section of Scripture, starting in verse 4 of Acts chapter 8. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits cried with a loud voice, came out of many and were who were possessed, and many who were baptized and lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. I guess so, right? People got saved, wouldn't you say? That's what's happening right here. They're receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then it tells a little story in verse 9, but there was a certain man named Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with the sorceries for a long time. So you see the enemy is right there. But verse 12, when they believed, notice they believed, it's backed up again that they believed. So this group of people, it would definitely appear according to Scripture that they have repented of their sins, they've given their life to the Lord. But when they believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Now, what kind of baptism is at that point? I believe that's water baptism. They got saved. They're encouraged to be water baptized, and so they did that. Then Simon himself, verse 13, also believed. He's now saved. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now look at verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria, of all places, Samaria, remember the Jews looked down on the people from Samaria. They were half-breeds. A long time ago in their history, the Jewish people there had mixed with the Gentiles, so they looked down upon them. So when that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. So what they heard is that these people had received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've been baptized. We don't know how much time that would be, but it takes a few days to walk up to Jerusalem, then a few days to come back. So a little bit of time had transpired. So when they had come down, notice verse 15, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we have to ask ourselves a question there. What is going on? Were they not saved? The answer would be, yes, they were saved. Had the Holy Spirit stepped into their lives? Yes, the Holy Spirit had stepped into their lives. Was the Holy Spirit with them, drawing them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? I believe so. And so we have here a witness that these people had been saved. And then the disciples come down, less disciples as we see than Peter and John come down again. And when they had prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, why would they do that? I believe because there's a third relationship with the Holy Spirit that we can have. It's not freaky, believe me, unless you can, look at those people that raise their hands and they're, like I jokingly said, they're all freaks. But it's just this special relationship that we can have with the Holy Spirit. I believe in, as I said, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, that you can be being filled. I need to be filled all the time. I really do. This morning I cried out, "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need that power. I need to walk in you," to be sensitive to that. But look at verse 16, please. "For as yet," the Scripture says, "he had fallen upon none of them." The "he," I believe, is the Holy Spirit. "And they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, that's great. They're saved. But there's something here that I believe is being introduced that is important for you and I to understand. That, and then look at verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saved, water baptized. The disciples come down. Peter and John speak to them and say, and they ask them, they don't ask them if you're saved. They don't ask if you've been water baptized. They asked if you've been, if you've received the Holy Spirit. So to me, I don't know about you, it teaches me, along with five other times in the book of Acts, you can see this relationship being expressed and developed. It speaks to me that there is a relationship that I can have with the Holy Spirit, which is different than salvation, which is different than Him being with me. It's Him coming upon me to do me and do me with power from on high. So again, verse 17, and they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So at the end of the service, we're going to do this. We're going to leave an opportunity. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit to be endued with power from on high, if you'd like to be renewed with the Holy Spirit, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. But just for a little bit, I just want to emphasize again, Scripture, this relationship that we see. We see that this is the Holy Spirit come upon us, the Holy Spirit being us being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. In Scripture, it says that we can be endued with power from on high. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, it says in Luke also, the promise of the Father. It's a promise that was there in Luke chapter 24 that goes into Acts chapter 1 as the story continues there. We see the Holy Spirit fell on them, poured out on them. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the centuries, some people have called it the second blessing. They called it the second work of the Holy Spirit. Clothed with the Holy Spirit, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, fitted for service, some called being sanctified. I don't care what you call it, but the question is, do we have it? And do we walk with that power to be witnesses every single day? It's very important that we would do that. So just a little bit of the definition here of the baptism with the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. In contrast with the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation, such as regeneration, indwelling, sealing, the upon or filling relationship with the Holy Spirit is related to Christian experience. In other words, sanctification helps us to be further set apart for the Lord, empowered that way, and service. The works of the Holy Spirit in relationship to salvation are once and for all, but the filling with the Spirit can be a repeated experience. The repeated, being filled with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit may be defined as a spiritual state where the Holy Spirit is fulfilling all that He came to do in the heart and life of the individual believer. It's just a wonderful, wonderful relationship that we can have found with Him. This is important. It's not a matter of us acquiring more of the Holy Spirit, but rather of the Spirit of God acquiring more of us, more of us. We surrender. He must increase, speaking of Jesus, and we must decrease. How does He do that? I believe through the person of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and crying out that way. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this, but we all with unveiled face, beholding and as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I don't know about you guys, but I need the power of the Holy Spirit to transform me more into His image over and over. Personally, I believe there's an observable difference in the character and quality of the daily life of a Spirit-filled Christian. If a believer is not Spirit-filled, it is not due to failure on the part of God to make provision, but rather on the part of the individual to appropriate and permit the Spirit of God to fill his or her life. And so there's a relationship that I believe that we can have with the Holy Spirit, which is very, very important. And so some of the results, what happens in a person's life when we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit? I believe the believer will experience greater separation from the world and a closer relationship with the Lord. I found that to be true in our life. As I said, we didn't become freaks in any way, but we just found this hunger, a greater hunger to read Scripture, a greater hunger to be people of prayer, a greater hunger to surrender each and every day because of the empowerment, the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Spiritual truths will be taught the believer in a more abundant way, I believe. The Holy Spirit can more easily guide the Christian and apply the truths of the Word of God. Sometimes people doubt their salvation and they need to be refreshed in the Holy Spirit. The assurance of salvation is something that He works in our lives to do. Prayer life will intensify. The believer's service, empowering, and exercise of the spiritual gifts will increase, being bolder witnesses for Jesus Christ. So these are some of the things that I believe are a result of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's important we would not quench the Spirit. It says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, because of unbelief. Grieve not the Holy Spirit through sin in our lives is important. And we can ask to receive, to appropriate the power and blessing that is provided for us. John the Baptist said this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so I found it to be true. I found it to be something that we can depend upon, this gift of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to do us with power from on high. The baptism with relationship with the Holy Spirit, again, is a definite experience of which one may know whether he or she has received it. In a moment, again, I'm going to say I have an opportunity for you guys to pray. And so we've been studying about the Holy Spirit. I believe that he's bringing us as individuals, but as a congregation, to once again cry out for him and say, Lord, I just want all of you, whatever that is. I want you to increase in my life. I want myself to decrease. I want that power to be a servant. The baptism with or being filled relationship with the Holy Spirit is a work that is distinct from and additional to regeneration, indwelling, and the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. The filling with the Holy Spirit is a work of the Holy Spirit always connected with and primary for the purpose of testimony and service. It is to make us useful for God in the salvation of souls and not merely to make us happy or feel wonderful. So that's really important. Sometimes people misunderstand what this is all about because it's been misused in so many different ways. It is one thing, I believe, to be born again by the Holy Spirit, and quite another thing to be filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if you're not saved, it would be good today to be saved, to give our heart to Jesus Christ. Amen? It is. There's nothing like that. Holy Spirit will step into our lives. He will dwell. He'll tabernacle in our life. But there's this relationship where he comes upon a person, as it's expressed in Scripture, to endue us with greater power to serve him. The filling or baptism with the Holy Spirit is every believer's privilege, I believe, and spiritual birthright. John chapter 7, verse 37 says this, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So when he became glorified, then a period of time afterward, the fullness of the whole Pentecost came, and then this relationship where the Holy Spirit will come into our lives, dwell in our lives, but also this relationship where he comes upon us. Again, it doesn't matter what we call this relationship with the Holy Spirit, but it does matter if these verses describe what is going on in our lives today. Yet, can we say, yes, there's a flowing forth, a torrent of the Holy Spirit coming out of our life. And so the question today is, not what we call it, but how have you received this blessing? Have you cried out for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to endue you with power from on high, that he would increase and that we might decrease? If not, I believe you have not received that. Please realize that this relationship, I would say, is real. It's changed my life. It's changed so many people's lives. And it's something that we can pray for. Today is the time, if you have not, to receive the Holy Spirit. I believe it could be your time to receive that simply by faith. If you want to say to the Lord, you've received this and, fill me once again, Lord, then that would be wonderful too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul prayed that they would come short and no gift. And that's the purpose of the message today, to allow us not to come short in anything, but allow him to work in our lives, to endue us with power from on high. May this be the reality of our lives today in the Church of Jesus Christ. We see John the Baptist saying this, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power." Make sense? Simple enough? So without fanfare, I just want to ask if we want to receive today as a congregation, as individuals, to be endued with power from on high, to be even refreshed in that way. Amen? So let's bow our hearts in prayer, and let's ask the Lord to do that in our lives today. This fire of baptism that Jesus spoke of refers to a fiery character of the Holy Spirit's operation upon our souls, doing the work of searching us, consuming our flesh, and setting us ablaze for God. So let's pray for that. Lord, we just come to you now simply. Nothing fancy, nothing forced. Leaving an opportunity for your Spirit to speak to each and every one of us. Reveal to us what our need may be. Lord, if we have never cried out for this relationship with you, today would be a good time to do that. So I pray that you speak to the hearts of people here now, Lord, that need to cry out for that relationship. Many have cried out for that in our midst, Lord, but today they may need just once again to say, Lord, fill me again with your Spirit. Empower me in a very special way. So Holy Spirit, move among us and speak to us and guide us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're going to do is have men and women up here to pray. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you want to be endued with the power from on high, then I encourage you just to come and receive prayer. You guys can do that? There's supposed to be a yes. Do that. Okay, so let's just bow and wait upon the Lord and see what he would say to each and every one of us.